Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. None better than Victoria Jones. Immigration reform passes another key Senate test. What does that mean? You know, what was the vote and what was this on?
The vote was 67-27. A couple of senators who might have voted yes were absent, so it could have been 69. And they're hoping they might get another one or two and get it to the magic 70. But even so, 67 is pretty respectable. And quite honestly, whether the conservative House is going to suddenly go, whoa, you said 70, so I'm going to do something, rather than, oh, it was 67, I'm not going to do anything, really, you know, I don't think so.
You don't think so. All right, so we'll see. We'll play the waiting game with that. How many pages is it? You're talking about like 1,200 pages with amendment and everything else?
Well, this is so interesting. The actual bill is about 1,200 pages. But the amendment that they voted on tonight is 119 pages. And so, you know, Senator Jeff Sessions was making a huge fuss. He was grumbling the colleagues didn't have time to read the bill. And Senator Bob Corker, who's one of the two people whose amendment this is, him and John Hoeven of North Dakota, and Bob Corker's from Tennessee and Sessions is from Alabama, he said any middle school student in Tennessee or Alabama could read this amendment in probably 30 or 40 minutes.
Really? They'd have to be speed readers.
Well, but it's only 119 pages. It's not 1,000.
Yeah, not the 1,200. Yeah. I meant the whole thing together, taken all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Do you think this is kind of an interesting question to ask you. Do you think this has been kicked around before that there should be a reading time for bills, or no, that wouldn't matter?
Well, it has been kicked around, but well, you've got to assume that they would actually read it in the reading time. I don't think they would.
I don't think they would either. It's like when you study, you know you have a test, midterms, whatever. You were in college, you know what I'm talking about. And you either procrastinated and pulled an all-nighter or waited till the last second, or you were somebody that you were organized and you were doing it all along.
All-nighter.
Yeah. Where you were studying round the clock for that exam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal. And so many people do it. I mean, all kinds of people do it, absolutely. All right, so the IRS, now this whole thing with the IRS, I was going to ask you about this too. Now they're saying that they've got new information, Democrats are saying this, that they singled out both liberal and conservative groups. I think we kind of heard that before, but that it went on through May. That's the big new revelation. Was anybody talking about this? Because that's kind of been buried on the back burner.
Well, this has just come out today, and this is Danny Werfel, who is the new head of the IRS. Has released this information today, but what he released was just that there were other groups who were improperly targeted. He didn't release the names, but Bloomberg and the Associated Press have got hold of the names. I don't know whether anybody else has by now, but they're the two sources who I'm aware of, and they've come up with Progressive, Occupy, Israel, as three of the names, and Bloomberg also came up with a November 2010 Be on the Lookout list, says progressives are partisan and appear as anti-Republican, and that Be on the Lookout list also included an entry for medical marijuana, disputed territories in the Middle East, and a few that dealt with democratic health care law.
Mm. All right, Be on the Lookout. That's the buzzword for this show, people. Speaking of being on the lookout, I guess Ecuador is on the lookout or waiting for what's going to ultimately happen here. Are they going to get word on this asylum with what's happening with Edward Snowden, of course, the NSA leaker? A lot of questions were bombed at Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson. That's not a surprise. But what are they saying now about Snowden and his whereabouts and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, this was actually a lively briefing today. Normally, these are really sort of dull as ditch water events to be at these White House briefings that I'm at. And today, it was really, really quite fun. But he doesn't seem to know anything unless he knows more than he's saying, and he seems to be out of the loop on a lot of things. But he did repeatedly say that the U.S. was urging Russia to hand Snowden back. And so you got the impression that maybe they were putting some kind of diplomatic pressure on Russia and emphasizing the cooperation over the Boston Marathon bombings and all this kind of stuff. But as far as everybody knows, Snowden is still holed up in some awful little airport hotel. But nobody really seems to know anything there.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a wait-and-see game with that. And also, the panda was a big deal. Tell us about the panda, Rusty, right?
Rusty the panda, 11 months old, has only been at the National Zoo for a few months and was bought to be a mate for a female red panda, too. That made it even sadder. She's called Sharma. And he disappeared. And the entire town went insane, and social media went wild. I mean, first of all, my Twitter feed was hysterical because, you know, you've got a Chinese panda that's missing. So you had all these very funny political tweets about, you know, has he gone to China and is he going to face charges when he gets back and all this kind of stuff. But then the real fear of, you know, where has he gone? Is he still in the zoo? And has he left? And then he started having people started putting maps up, and there was a map in the Washington Post for possible panda sightings. And then one woman had a panda sighting, and she tweeted a picture. And this picture of Rusty the panda at about 1:20 p.m. is hysterical. He was so furtive, and he's running. And then they swooped out of the zoo with nets, like butterfly nets, to go and catch him. And all of Washington in the afternoon, I'm telling you, all these political types who I follow on Twitter and spend all their time decomposing a SCOTUS ruling, all they were doing was following Rusty to see if he was going to get caught and crated back.
I love that. The panda distraction. Perfect. Victoria Jones, as always, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, so affirmative action, that's a big one from the Supreme Court. Did it torpedo minorities, or actually, did it help minorities, this ruling on affirmative action? We'll dive deeper into that this hour, plus take a look at some of the other decisions that are coming the way of this court, a couple of big ones. Gay marriage will be next. There's two cases with gay marriage. One is the challenge to California's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. The other is the provision of the federal law that prevents legally, because you know how many states have legalized gay marriage, legally married gay couples from getting a range of things like health, tax, pension benefits. This has been a massive tug of war, no doubt, for these gay couples. So there's two big ones coming down the pike. Affirmative action, now we have that one where you had a white woman denied admission in 2008 to the University of Texas who was looking to overturn the school's consideration of race among the factors in filing to get into the school. So a broad ruling could have ended the use of race in college admissions, but instead what happens is it is kicked back into a lower court. 7-1 in the Fisher versus the University of Texas Supreme Court decision. That was the majority. I'll explain a little bit more coming up on the flip side. Plus, we're going to hear what Horace Cooper, a conservative black board member for Project 21, has to say about the Supreme Court majority decision. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited-time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Victoria from Talk Radio News. You can throw in your 2 cents as always here on America Tonight at 855-266-5283. Trust me, there is a lot of reaction to this affirmative action deal. 7-1 was the decision, as I said, but it really avoids, they sidestep, they get around, skirt around the constitutional issue. As I mentioned, Abigail Fisher was the person who sued the state, sued the university after her college application was booted in 2008 when she was a high school senior in Sugar Land, Texas. She says it was because she was white and she was being treated differently than some of the less qualified minority students who were accepted because she had all the other things, community service, other things that would make her well-rounded. She issued a statement because, look, 2008, look where we are, 2013. She says she's grateful to the justices for moving the nation closer to the day when a student's race isn't used at all in college admissions. I say bravo to that. And Horace Cooper will tell you the very same thing when he joins us. And he'll give you specific reasons why, as Project 21 filed a legal brief, a friend of the court legal brief. There were a ton of them filed, but they filed one as well, and he says the problem becomes is the whole idea, the question of diversity does not fit in these times and what it does ultimately to the individuals and to the students who are extremely talented that shouldn't be thrown into the pool, meaning black, white, whatever color, heritage, ethnic background somebody happens to be. And I agree with her. Why can't it be on the merits? Why can't it just be on we're getting the best people, you know, possible? So the university says it was encouraged by the decision. The Obama administration agreed with the school on this one, but they did sidestep a big decision that they could have, you know, leveled. They could have had that majority, but they didn't. They didn't do that. So the whole issue of whether it violates the equal rights of some white applicants is now tossed back to the lower courts for further review. But the court affirmed the use of race in the admissions process, but made it harder for institutions to use that policy to achieve diversity. But still, they get out of the bigger issues, like I said. So 7-1 was ultimately how that ruling was handed down. And so they did a little bit of shuffling there. I actually went through the decision because, you know, it's always good to read it. You get a better sense of the document. You get a better sense of the justices, the majority opinions, the dissenting. Justice Ginsburg was the dissenting opinion. And you go from there and read it, Thomas's opinion. And so the best I can tell you in breaking this down is this gets kicked back to a lower court, and that the school is defending its policy of considering race as one of many factors in admissions at the University of Texas. And I think that this is what this means is there still is going to be a tug of war over this. And even though we've got these good intentions that are out there flying around, it still is not black and white, so to speak. We still don't have that. We have to see what happens in the lower court. Ginsburg said government actors need not be blind to the lingering effects of an overtly discriminatory past. And this is part of the dissension. She says, I've said before and reiterate here that only an ostrich could regard the supposedly neutral alternative as race unconsciousness. How about that? And there have been other precedents that have been set with this affirmative action and have come to the court's way before, but this is pretty big. I'm curious as to what's going to happen now with the other two issues, but, you know, this is the thing. So laws and the word discrimination and college admissions and, you know, how do you end racism? That's part of the discussion. You stop pushing discrimination, I think, based on race. You stop the race baiting because some of that obviously happens in these cases. And why, you know, every application has race as one of the choices. Every hiring decision has race as one of the boxes that you check. I mean, they give you everything possible to check. So job experience, what about grades? So there's two different examples where they ask you to check the box. Affirmative action had its place in time, but its place is not now because it has really bungled up the system, I think, more often than not. You might not agree with that. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. All right, Edward Snowden continues to be the biggest story. This is the buzz in the backyard. Whether you're pumping gas, sitting next to somebody on a bus, and you're a little bit chatty, you're waiting at an airport somewhere, or you're just yelling at your radio when you're driving to pick up your kids from whatever camp they went to, whatever day camp, because you're listening what's happening, the fodder on the air, the back and forth over this. And Snowden at this point is in between. He's nowhere. He's in nowhere man's land. He's in between looking for asylum in Ecuador, and it's just a question of if he'll get that or not. And if he doesn't get asylum in Ecuador, he would certainly be headed somewhere else. WikiLeaks money, Julian Assange, is helping him big time. He surrounded him with people, so he's not by himself. He's got people courtesy of Assange to help him out. the U.S. has yanked his passport, but he left Hong Kong on a refugee document of passage that was issued by Ecuador. That's how he was able to do that. And so that pretty much tells you why he's headed there, what he intends to do when he gets there, and does it, you know, does it ultimately pan out for him? Because the whereabouts of specifics of where he is what the NSA wants to know now, sooner rather than later. And he's got friends that are helping. These friends are making a big, big difference. And it was Snowden himself that kicked open the door when he said that he had leaked classified documents about NSA-run surveillance programs. He did that to reiterate for the Guardian newspaper in the UK and the Washington Post. So those docs showed programs that we know collected records of telephone calls in the U.S., and monitored internet activities from overseas people as well. The disclosures, I think, rocked America. I don't know if it was so much the U.S. intelligence community, because a lot of them already knew how deep this went. But it definitely raised questions for most of us about whether the NSA is really trampling on our civil liberties or doing what they absolutely have to do to ensure our safety in a free country with porous borders. How do they make that work? Because you know what happens if there was some other kind of big attack. Finger pointing and blame game happens with the intelligence people. From the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, Homeland Security, you know, you name it. Pick whichever intelligence gathering group or law enforcement group you want to talk about, and that's what will happen. Who dropped the ball? How could we possibly have let this happen to us again? So Ecuador isn't the only thing on the map. Iceland also is another possibility, and who knows, there may be three or more that he's looked at as well. The president said on Monday that the United States is pushing all legal channels to bring him back. Bring him back. Just get him back there. But so far, no movement on that level. Nothing happening there. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, was pushed, I heard, against a wall. Just basically said, you got to get on the Russians. They got to work with us. They have to help us. And, of course, they haven't done that. We have turned over 7 prisoners to Russia in the last handful of years. But that doesn't get us a Snowden. So that exchange did not happen. All right, I've been talking about him since I cracked open the mic at the top. Horace Cooper on the flip side with Project 21. His point of view on what went down with the Supreme Court and affirmative action.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
It's time to prepare for an uncertain future at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival. June 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Valair Ballroom in Des Moines. Tickets are only $6 per day or $12 for a three-day pass. Speakers include Jackie Clay of Backwoods Home Magazine, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy of Doom and Bloom, and Jack Spearco of the Survival Podcast. There's 100 free conceal and handgun classes each day, and you'll gain valuable knowledge as you learn how to prepare with beekeeping, soap making, canning supplies, cooking with solar, gold and silver, seed banks, and water purification. There's even a free apple seed shoot for the kids. Check out the Youngevity booth and the health product line with pharmacist Keith Abel. Speaking about natural healthy living, the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th in Des Moines, Iowa. Presented by My Patriot Supply and sponsored by Genesis Communications Network. Visit valairballroom.com for tickets and find us on Facebook at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Big ruling today from the Supreme Court, the decision to strike down race preferences, you could say that, in college admissions. What's interesting here is the different points of view on it. We're talking about Fisher versus University of Texas at Austin, decided today. The plaintiff was Abigail Fisher, who was white, who alleged racial preferences caused her 2008 admissions application to the University of Texas at Austin to be rejected, pretty much in favor of somebody who they said was a lesser qualified minority candidate, and that was that race-based admissions, if you remember, and we've talked about this before, and we've had people here on America Tonight have talked about in the state of Texas where our satellite facility is. In the 90s, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, in a different decision, you know, said that, boom, that was outlawed after that. So here we go with the Supreme Court, and they said it was a compelling state interest for classroom diversity in the ruling in an earlier case in 2003. But in this case, that's what we care about here, a much different ruling as they kick it back down. On the show with us, very pleased to welcome Horace Cooper. He's an adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chairman of Project 21, National Advisory Board, and a legal commentator. We've had him on before. You guys love him. Horace, thanks so much for popping on again with us here on America Tonight.
Yeah, I love coming on your program. You've got an amazing audience, and it's great topics to talk about.
So let's talk about this. This Project 21 loves this decision. Tell us why.
Well, we were happy to see that the Supreme Court sent this case back to the Fifth Circuit and directed them to use a new standard of review. How courts assess the policy questions that come before them are often outcome determinative. And in this particular case, we believe that the outcome is going to be a victory for Ms. Fisher. The strict scrutiny standard is simply a measure of how a judge or appellate court judge is going to examine any policy undertaken by a university that involves race. Because of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which were adopted post-Civil War, the Constitution itself now says you're not supposed to use race as a basis for withholding or providing a policy or a benefit or a subsidy or any kind of admissions to any public entity. The University of Texas hoped that it was going to be able to include race among a multiple number of other options, maybe height, maybe wealth, maybe geographical origin. They claimed they had what they call their holistic test, and race was just one among several of the options that they used. Ms. Fisher said, I applied, and I had community service. I had a fairly good score on my achievement test. I had a fairly decent academic record in high school, but I didn't make the automatic admission cut, but I did better than the people that you admitted under this alternative standard. And it looks to me like the only reason I didn't make it was that I'm white and they're black.
Yeah. Yeah. Project 21 was part of a friend of the court legal brief that was submitted to the Supreme Court on Fisher's behalf, and there was the Pacific Legal Foundation for one, and others praised really that brief as the most persuasive overall of similar briefs, because as you know, there was tons filed in this in the
sure.
case against race preferences. Why is that? What were the highlights from the brief that you can share with us? Especially the word diversity was mentioned several times.
Our view was that no school ought to be able to hide its race-based decision-making behind the word diversity or behind the word tolerance or behind the words affirmative action. We wanted to make sure as much as possible if universities stuck to their purpose, which is especially the publicly funded ones, which is to provide a service to all eligible applicants. We argued that the University of Texas was not doing that, and that we were disguising or attempting to disguise the use of race in this mix of all of the other terms that they use. As Ms. Fisher points out, if your scores are the same as the minority matriculants, your community service is the same or better, and all of your other academics are the same or better, why would you get picked or not get picked and they get picked? If the only issue really is at the end of the day was the race, you're all the way back to this issue of the government making the race of the individual the basis for the decision. We don't believe you should make it a lot or a little. We don't believe that if Jim Crow had some efficiencies and so they only slightly gave whites an advantage over blacks, that would have made it okay. We also don't believe that if a program makes it slightly better to be an applicant who is a minority over a non-minority, that that makes it somehow okay. The Bakke decision in the 70s, Grutter decision in 2003, mm-hmm. together make it very clear that the way any affirmative action program is going to work at the university level, it is the duty of the state entity, in this case the University of Texas, to show that the only and essential way that they can accomplish their diversity goals are to use just tangentially race as one of their factors. Cannot be a pretext for just getting goals and timetables and quotas. This case is telling because Texas, for almost 15 years, was meeting its diversity goal simply by having a standard that said, if you're in the top 10% of your class, regardless of the high school that you went to in Texas, you're going to be eligible to be admitted. And that had achieved quite a number of blacks and Latinos and other minority groups from going. The university shifted to what I'm calling a hybrid model, where they allow most admissions to come through that top 10% standard, but then they reserve a remainder for this diversity mix, which apparently really is only about trying to get as many minority participants to matriculate as possible.
Yeah, do you think, well, first of all, you know that Al Sharpton's having a heart attack over this when he hears people like you talk and say that, Horace, because he's like, brother, what are you saying? Are you kidding me? I listened to Al Sharpton today, and Al has done many good things in his life. But boy, he is furious over this and says this is so backwards and is taking us in the wrong direction and does not promote racial harmony. Do you think that?
Well, I think it's just the opposite. That's probably why I refer to him as Al Not So Sharpton. he very frequently resorts to race baiting and divisiveness, and these programs do much the same. I'll give a quick example of how the same program hurts two parties. If you're a minority applicant and you are recruited to go to a school very rigorous like MIT or Caltech, many of those applicants might actually not only succeed, but prosper and thrive, graduate cum laude at the University of Missouri, at, say, the University of Texas, at, say, a school in Florida, or any number of mainstream high, but not the most high and most difficult and rigorous schools. What they do, however, when they come to Caltech and when they go to MIT, they fail out. Those students, quite frequently, and these studies are showing it overwhelmingly, and there's far more interest, as an aside, in getting them through the front door than making sure they actually put the cap and gown on. But those students fail and invariably falsely conclude they're not college material. Mm. Now, when the Caltech students and the MIT students who are admitted through the normal procedures show up, these are the most exceptional students around. The ones that can't make it there through the normal process aren't dumb, aren't ill-equipped, they just aren't the most exceptional. Well, we have a situation where the most exceptional consistently during their college career watch minorities fail, giving them the false impression from personal experience that minorities aren't equipped to compete. If you simply said to Caltech, you can admit whoever you want to, but mm-hmm. what we're asking you to do is admit people who can actually compete. It benefits all the parties. It's bad to tell a person who could graduate magna cum laude from the University of Texas, but they failed at MIT, for them to think that they are not college material, and for them to go on in a lifetime of career, which is what we see. We are seeing people take 5 and 6 years to try to figure out what their new career and skill set is going to be since, quote, they're not college material. And also, we let our elites and brightest be under the false impression that minorities can't compete. What we need is a program that's very simple, and it just says we are going to admit those who can compete, those who meet the excellent schedule, whatever that might be at wherever school that might be. Some schools is going to be an easy test. Some schools is going to be a moderate test. Some schools is going to be an exceptional test. But if you let the students meet whatever that standard is and then attend, you're not going to have this problem. The thing is, the progressive communities have what President Bush called the bigotry of low expectations. They actually don't believe minorities can compete at Caltech. They don't believe we'd ever have people at MIT if you just simply got rid of affirmative action. And it turns out that's just not true. The same argument was made about the University of Texas, but for 15 years you saw minorities participate under the standard of I was in the top 10% of my class. Now,
right.
For full disclosure, I was born in the state of Texas. I am a graduate of the University of Texas. And I attended during the period where a top 10% was necessary to be able to attend.
There you go. Great example. Horace Cooper, thanks so much.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618, BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at DoomsdayExpo.com. DoomsdayExpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or HBExtract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Turn here in this hour of America tonight. Affirmative action, that is, the Supreme sent it back down to a lower court. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you. That is a huge story, but there still are two other rulings set to come down before the Supremes take off for the summer, and both involve gay marriage. There are other things that shook across the land, had some rippling effects. I'm going to jam on those before we say adios to this hour of ATN. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Kate, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm driving my little combat Prius here.
Cool.
I want to make sure I make all the right moves here. But, you know, I want to talk about immigration. I want to submit 2 points to you, okay?
Yep.
First, America's like a house. It's like your house. And you left the window open and the door open, the garage open, and all these people came in. And then you say, like the Republicans are saying, well, I'm going to start closing the window and the door and the garage. But you don't do anything to the people in your house. You say, and then after that, well, we'll figure out somewhere where you can stay or something. Now, what message does that tell the people that broke into your house?
It says that they can stay and it's okay. Go ahead.
And not only that, Kate, but what about their friends outside? You know what, Kate? Those
come
people,
on in.
What are they going to do? They're going to open the door to let the rest of the people in. And politically, that means that they're going to vote. Okay? The ones here are going to vote to allow more people in. That's what's going to happen. So the fence means nothing if you're going to allow these lawbreakers to vote. That's point one.
Yeah.
Point two.
Hey, Tomas, let me stop you there. Do me a favor. If you're on speakerphone, take it off of speakerphone because you're kind of reverberating a little bit in our ears. Are you?
Let me see here.
Hold there on. You go.
Okay, now.
I can hear you now. You sound better. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
That's
now,
all right.
Point two is the truth that you know, no one wants to hear. The white people in this country are not having children. The black people in this country are having more abortions than live birth. The only people in this country that are having children are the Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The people out there going, the future is the children. You have to give the, if you don't, you know, the country will cease to exist if you don't have people having children. So you have that fact. And, you know, these two things, you know, in addition to the fact that no one out there will say, you know, we don't have to return them all in one day. They didn't all get here in one day. You know, if you want to return them, it will take a couple of years because they didn't, you know, you can't expect, you know, they're acting like we have to return them all in one day if we're going to do that. No, you could have a plan to return them over a couple of years. But those are some points that you know, you're not going to listen. You're not going to hear from the Rubios and the Cruises. I don't know why. But
yeah.
On your
you know
program,
what you make some interesting. No, you make some interesting points because you're absolutely right. If you look at the statistics, we've talked about that before. You're not the when it comes to children, there is no question. The only or the burgeoning race is the Latino Hispanic race. That's it. You're absolutely right. That's why Romney was crushed in the election as far as Hispanics were concerned, because Obama captured that market, if you will, that demographic. And so imagine where we're headed if we continue to plow the same field the same way. What's the definition of insanity? You're doing it wrong.
Well, you know, another thing is they made us take Romney in, and, you know, they made us have... They wanted us to have amnesia. Come on, Romney was pro-homosexual, pro-gay rights. He was pro-choice, you know. He was anti-gun. He was the governor of Massachusetts. And then all of a sudden, he changed. And then all of a sudden, everyone was saying, he's such an honorable man. You know, we were throwing so much crap into our faces and told to swallow and vote. And you know what? Some of us said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to take that. You know, so, Kate, you are doing such a great job. You know, how long have you been at this show now, Kate?
I've been at this show for, I want to say 6 years.
Well, hoorah, baby. Hoorah.
Tomas, thanks. All right, so honestly, he is right on that point that's one of the things that you don't hear and that's not talked about. And as far as what happened with Romney, sure, because there were delegates that were furious. They didn't want Romney, but that's who they got. And that's the process. And what happens in 2016? What happens in 2014? You know, that's why my push from the start of America Tonight was it's not about just fresh voices. It's that the politics have become such a machine. You have Democrats and Republicans that are almost mirroring each other in so many ways. It's just one power grab. It really is. And that, you know, you're not, this is just throwing things out there, the blame game. Let's just blame the people in Washington. It really is the truth. And the people in Washington will tell you that. They say, I've said this before, I've talked to Congress people, I've talked to senators, and you know what they echo? The ones who say, when they're asked the question, why can't you break log jams? Why can't you have conversations? Why can't you get legislation that's tougher done eventually? And they say the same thing, because there isn't so much camaraderie anymore, especially between the two sides, we'll call them Democrats and Republicans, and because nobody stays in Washington. They used to live in Washington, so there was more socializing, there was more after-work conversations than there are today, where it's in and out of Washington, in and out. And look at these bills. How do you have time? The immigration bill, even reading it? Come on. The whole bill, then the amendment, we made that point at the top. I mean, it's ridiculous. How could you possibly retain it? I don't care what speed reading school that you went to. All right, a couple of other nuggets I want to throw in. One, congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. Woohoo! They beat the Bruins. They won the Stanley Cup in Game 6. I watched from the second period, halfway through the second period on. It was, you know, I am a stick and puck girl. I've told you all that before, but it was really good hockey, and the series was good hockey. People who don't even normally watch, I think, were watching. I love to see, when we crunch all the numbers, what the final numbers are for NBC, because I think that they have to be pretty high. I would think they have to be pretty high. And this was a great game from the Chicago Blackhawks when they needed it at the end, and it got crazy. They got the goals that they needed. And Brian Bickle and Dave Bolin scored 17 seconds apart is pretty much what happened. And in that 1 minute and 16 seconds, the Blackhawks went from, wow, we almost could have won this, to we did win it because it looked like we were going to go to a game 7. But they did it in 6. 3-2 was the final score. So congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. Another quick note here, the George Zimmerman trial definitely underway. Jurors heard some crazy things. Remember Zimmerman, who killed Trayvon Martin, on trial for the murder of Trayvon Martin, and he's got a flamboyant defense attorney. There's a lot of people backing him up that sent money for his defense team. And if you just read a headline, you would see a crazy thing where it said, knock-knock jokes and curses were heard in opening arguments. The prosecutor swore. The defense attorney told a joke. They laid out their cases in this murder trial. And now it's game on. It's an all-female jury, which is crazy, I think. I was surprised by that. You got people lining up for tickets and, you know, fair or foul. We'll see where Lady Justice ultimately falls down on which side when it's all said and done.
Government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.